Let's go right out to our guest line and waiting patiently, Denzel Valentine, Pride of Lansing. He's a co-national player of the year. It's injustice that it wasn't a complete whitewash. He should have won them all, but went on to a career and still playing professional basketball. Zell, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine, and I was watching BTN last night, and it was kind of a Michigan State night, and what pops on the screen but Michigan State's win over Oklahoma in the Sweet 16 in 2015. Michigan State was a 7 seed, as it is this year, playing a 3 seed from the Big 12, as it is this year. The game was in New York, in Syracuse, Carrier Dome, instead of Madison Square Garden, but still the state of New York as it is this year. So a lot of similarities there. You think this team is poised for a run? Could you see the Spartans in the Final Four?
Yeah, I honestly think so. I like our guard play. Our bigs have been pretty consistent as of late. And I think we just have the togetherness and toughness to make a run. So I like our chances.
Well, your team was led by three guards. Of course, you and Bryn and Travis Trice was on a hot streak. This team is led by three guards. But I'm looking at the recap of this game, Zell, and this is a story that went all around the world, okay, the Associated Press. Can you guess what the headline was?
What was it?
Denzel Valentine, second half surge, leads Spartans over Sooners. That's what they read about in Bangladesh.
man, that was a fun game, man. We, you know, that year we had no expectations, but we knew we were really good, man.
And yeah.
We went to the Big Ten Championship and, you know, lost to Wisconsin in overtime. I think we're all mad because we should have won that. So I think we went to the tournament with something to prove.
It was one of those years when two Big Ten teams in the Final Four this year, Michigan State, the only Big Ten representative in the Sweet 16. But you caught fire in that game against Oklahoma, and you scored 13 points in the second half. Travis had 6 points in the last 2 minutes of that game. You pulled away and won 62-58, and you didn't lead until about 10 minutes to go in that game. It was kind of a rock fight for a while, but you made the plays you needed down the stretch.
Yeah. No, it was, like I said, it was that was a really good game, really competitive. Oklahoma's team was really good that year. And, you know, we just found a way to win. And, you know, we led by Coach Izzo and DJ and the whole staff. You know, they had a great game plan for us, and we just followed it and went out there and just played our hardest.
And the guy that was right with you for Player of the Year honors 12 months later, Buddy Hield, you got the best of him, too, in that game.
Yeah, man, it was fun competing with him that year. You know, I knew he was a good player. I knew he had a lot of capabilities to score. So it was a good measuring stick. And then, you know, what do you know? And next year, you know, everybody's comparing us. So it definitely was a fun game.
I'm looking at some of the shooting percentages here. And Zell said so much about your toughness and the way that Michigan State played. Field goal percentage, 38.6. Three-point percentage, 33.3. Free throw percentage, 56.3. None of them up to standards, but you won by holding Oklahoma to less.
Oh, dang. No, I didn't realize that, man. That's a crazy stat because, you know, usually if you shoot like that, you lose the game, so.
Right,
like
right.
You said, that is, yeah, for sure.
Well, this Michigan State team with controlling the ball, as you talk about the backcourt and making some things happen, and then you went on and you beat Louisville, right, for the right to go to the Final Four?
Yeah.
What do you remember about that game? That was the game that really sent you to Indianapolis.
Yeah, no, that game was crazy because I had been watching Louisville all year and historic program, and they had Terry Rozier, who's a really good NBA player, Montrezl Harrell. They were really good. They played hard. They pressed a little bit and kind of spreaded you out. They were all athletic, so it was a good challenge for us, man. We just stuck to our game plan. Coach Izzo coached us up really well, and then we just played together. That was probably one of my closest teams there at Michigan State. So, we really cared and wanted to see each other win. So we carried that onto the floor, and then we made a run.
Now, most guys, if they had one of these three things in their career, they would die smiling. But I have to ask you, which of these three was the most exciting for you? Beating Louisville and then going on and playing Duke in the Final Four in Indianapolis. The following year, winning so many National Player of the Year honors, or your first game in the NBA as a member of the Chicago Bulls?
Honestly, the two best highlights in my life, and they're probably equal. Yeah. Is probably going to the Final Four, mm-hmm. And then getting drafted. Getting drafted was crazy.
Yeah. How long had you dreamed of being drafted? You would probably watch the draft when you were a kid, and did you think, okay, I'm going to wear this outfit when I get drafted?
Oh, man. I've been watching the draft, ever since I was a baby pretty much, because my dad was a huge NBA fan. So,
right.
Yeah, man, that's what I dreamed about pretty much all my life. So it was crazy to kind of see it happen, and how it did happen. It's definitely a blessing.
This game that, when you beat Oklahoma to go on to the Elite Eight, it's funny how some guys have games, and they don't have careers, but they have games. They have moments, and you need those. In this game, your buddy Bryn played 31 minutes and had 3 points, and you gave him a lot of good looks, and it was one of those nights. He could make 11 threes. This wasn't that night, but right. The guy who really did it for you. And, we wondered sometimes when you threw him the ball if he could see it or catch it. Gavin Schilling, he couldn't miss. He only missed one shot the whole night. He was 4 for 5, and he had a couple baskets that, it's a good thing he was there.
Yeah, no, like I said, no, we had a great team that year. Everybody, played their role, and at every game was a team effort, team win, and we kind of just knew each other's strengths and kind of leaned on each other, and we all encouraged each other, and we made a good run to the Final Four.
So you're going through a tournament run, Zell, and that your coach has at that point been to 6 Final Fours. You would soon make it 7. And then Cassius and company made it 8. That is the fifth highest total in NCAA history. And if he gets there with 2 more wins this year, he'll be tied for 4th all time. Knowing you have that kind of experience on the bench, how comforting is that?
Very, because he doesn't let up. He doesn't ease up, and he knows what it takes. He knows what it takes, to win at a high level. So, you lean on him, and he just kind of pushes you and encourages you and holds you accountable to that standard. And I'm very grateful for it, because unlike the Arkansas coach who he was taking his shirt off after the second round win, which is fine. Because that's definitely a blessing itself, but a lot of more tournaments to get to. So,
right.
Coach Izzo, we hold ourselves to a high standard, and that's, national championships and Final Fours. So You know, I'm forever grateful for Coach Izzo and how he pushed us and how that worked out for us.
When you think about some teams, Zell, their goals are different. Michigan State is always reaching for the brass ring, but we were sitting there in Columbus watching Fairleigh Dickinson, the 16 seed, beat Purdue, and this is the shortest team in the country. I mean, these are D2 transfers with a 6'6 center going up against Zach Edey, and it looked like, you know, when you're playing with your son who's 12 years old, you know, that's kind of the way it looked. And these guys are just flying around like they didn't have a care in the world. And as the game went on, Purdue got tighter and tighter. And, you know, you needed the jaws of life to get them out of there at the end of the game. But can you imagine? Well, I guess you had one of those games, right? A year later.
Man, Middle Tennessee is crazy because that year, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight was in Chicago, so everybody just assumed that we were going to make it to the Sweet 16 that year. So St. Louis, it was like we had a little bit of fans, but the whole gym was against us. And and Middle Tennessee played their best game.
Yes.
And we probably played either average to one of our worst games. So it was just,
yeah,
credit to them. They had a good game plan. They played hard. They made shots. They played better. They were the better team that day. But, you know, it was just one of those days where we couldn't get nothing going. And then, you know, it was like an away game. So, you know, that's when the tournament gets tough. It's like, you know, if you're the higher seed, everybody's cheering against you, you know. You know, that's the tournament, though. That's what makes it fun, and that's why people love it.
You know, I think back to that game and the surprise factor, and you're right. People were already looking ahead a couple rounds. But normally, when there's a big upset like that, Zell, the favored team lays a giant dodo egg. That wasn't really the case with your team. You shot well. You were over 50%. It's just that the other team had one of those days where they couldn't miss. You want to tell them to open their eyes. I mean, they were banking in shots that they were barely looking at the basket.
Yeah, no, and I had, and, you know, I hold myself accountable, and, you know, I'm really, you know, I'm realistic when it comes to, you know, how I play and everything. And during the tournament time, your best players have to play great, and I didn't have a good game. I played just okay. I had, like, they had like six turnovers because they were in that 1-3-1 zone, and I shot okay. Got going late, but it was already too late because they had been playing so well. So in the tournament, you know, your best players have to play well, and, you know, I take that experience, and, you know, I always, you know, I hate living with the fact that, you know, my senior year finished out like that, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, I had you know, plenty of other great memories at Michigan State, so.
Sure. You talk about your best player has to play well. When you look at this Michigan State team, Zell, who is the best player?
I don't know who their best players is, but I know that AJ and Tyson, you know, I think we go as they go. You know, if those two guys, and, you know, they don't have to go out and, you know, score 30 or 20 or everything like that. They just got to just be in control of the game, play their game, and just kind of just go as they go. And once they're in control and AJ's, you know, he's making passes, he's driving, he's getting everybody involved, he's playing good defense, and Tyson is, you know, picking his spots when to be aggressive. You know, we're a scary team to be. You know, we've been playing. We've played all the top competition the whole year, and we've been in the games or beat the top competition. So I'm very confident in our two guards, and I think those two guys, you know, have to will us to victory.
I guess Joey Hauser is capable of doing some things, and especially hitting perimeter shots, and Jaden Akins can provide some problems, but this is basically been a centerless team. Mati Sissoko had played a great game Sunday.
Oh, yeah, he did. Big blocks, big rebounds down the stretch.
Yeah, Yeah, he was very important to it. But for most of the season, the center position hasn't been a threat. Michigan State has not really had a post game. So that's been a little bit different. Yeah, you had Costello, right? You could throw the ball in there, and he could make a few things happen.
Oh, yeah. And Matt was a huge part of our success. And, you know, his senior year, he was playing really, really well. And, you know, I'm definitely grateful for Matt. He was he's definitely a legend in my book. I don't know about everybody else, but, you know, he's a legend in my book.
Yeah, Matt's one of my favorite former Spartans, and you know, he was one of your biggest fans even back to high school. I remember with the Mr. Basketball, and you know, and then he came to all the Sexton games. He was following you, and I thought they should get him a cheerleading outfit.
Yeah, no, Matt's just one. He's probably, I always tell people this, like, because when people ask, like, who's your favorite teammate, he's definitely in my top three teammates. He's just selfless. Like, he's gonna work hard. He doesn't complain about anything. He's always positive. He just works hard every day. Great dude to be around, man. And he's been that way ever since I met him. And, you know, that's why he's having success even right now overseas and doing good things. And that's why he had success at Michigan State, because of his mindset.
We're talking with Denzel Valentine, and he was a two-time state champion for Lansing Sexton and National Player of the Year at Michigan State. Soon, I don't know how soon, but soon to have his number retired at Breslin Center, and Final Four participant in 2015. Zell, there aren't many guys who have a resume like that, but there's one other thing that really, really makes it a small club, and that's that you and your dad have both been in Sweet 16s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he talked to you about that? His Sweet 16 experience wasn't as much fun as yours.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Michigan State, you know, you know, it was a little different back then. So, you know, that's the reason why I went to Michigan State and wore the number 45, because of my dad. So,
right.
You know, definitely cool, for sure.
All right, bring us up to speed, Zell, on what you're doing now. I know that, you know, you've been working to get back to the level you want to be, and, you know, you're still out there playing. Tell us a little bit about that and what the future holds.
Oh, man, right now I'm just playing with Boston, the Boston Celtics G League team, the main Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, I was played pretty well to start off the season, and around January, like early January, I ended up breaking my pinky again. So I was out like a month, and then just got back like early February, and then kind of just been kind of getting back in the flow and playing and everything like that. And so we're in the playoff hunt in the G League. So just trying to finish out strong and make something happen, man.
Is there any chance you make a full recovery? You have a nice playoff run. Nobody wants to see an injury, but let's say the Celtics have a couple guys go down in the backcourt that you could be called up?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance that, you know, they could call me up and or any team for real. So, you know, there's a lot. There's like 3 weeks left, 3 or 4 weeks left of the NBA regular season. So, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to take it day by day, work hard, and then, you know, let the chips fall where they fall.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll be watching the games starting Thursday night, Michigan State and Kansas State. And then after that, the Spartans would either play Tennessee or Florida Atlantic. And none of those teams are ranked in the top 14 in the AP poll, so it seems like it's a winnable region if Michigan State plays well, and you know what that's all about.
Yeah. No, I think sky's the limit with our team. I think like I said, you know, Tyson and AJ are really good players, and I know they're going to come to play. They're tough. They're really talented. So, you know, I expect to see a Final Four run, and Coach Izzo is a legendary coach, obviously, being in the Hall of Fame. He knows what to do, so I'm excited to see what they do, man.
So, great talking to you again, and have a good rest of the season.
Okay, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.